Hey everybody, welcome to the Jug Life Podcast. This week, my guest is Corey Beasley from Fight Camp Conditioning. We're going to talk about some scheduling considerations for jiu-jitsu athletes, how they can schedule their week with training, with lifting, because I know it can be hard to fit it all together, especially if you're balancing, you know, work, kids, getting a little bit older, injuries, all that stuff. So make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. You can also find the audio versions of The Jug Life on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. If you're interested in online coaching for powerlifting, powerbuilding, super total, weightlifting, strongman, including our AI systems for powerlifting and powerbuilding, visit jtsstrength.com, as well as finding all of our books and apparel there. So thanks for watching. Enjoy the episode.
Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
All right, so what's up, buddy? Tell me what's new for Fight Camp and everything.
Well, we just, you know, always just constantly trying to find coaches and put out good material and help move the strength and conditioning forward for those sports, you know? So there's always, that's always changing.
You got guys with fights coming up?
Yeah, we got a guy in Vancouver this weekend, somebody in Mexico City next weekend, and the following, I think it's the following weekend, maybe two weekends in Tampa.
With the, a lot of good ones. With the Mexico City, that's going to be a big elevation.
Yeah, right. They spent the last 3 weeks up in Big Bear.
Okay.
Doing their thing up there, so I handed them some equipment and some things to do and left.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. It worked out pretty good.
Nice. So what I want to talk about today is something, you know, people have been asking on Facebook and Reddit and YouTube and all that stuff. Seems like the most common question and a tough one to answer, but is how they should go about scheduling their jiu-jitsu training in respect to also trying to get some strength and conditioning work in. So this is something you've dealt with quite a bit, yeah?
Yeah, it's a pretty common problem, not just with jiu-jitsu, but I think with any combat sport, it's a balance of all the stress, right? Getting some results that you want, you know, developing the athletic quality that you're trying to hit, but keeping them healthy is always a priority, right?
Yeah, and I imagine the first part and sort of the most tough to pin down part is, particularly in jiu-jitsu, as there's not a lot of, there's not really recreational MMA fighters.
Right.
but for jiu-jitsu, you're getting, from 18-year-olds who train 2-3 times a day, and that's all they're doing, and they're trying to go and win worlds.
Right.
To getting, 45-year-old guy who has got a real job and 2 kids and wife and
it's a different game.
Yeah, and wants to train jiu-jitsu and wants to, whether it's competing at Masters Worlds or just doing better at his own school. They still want to improve that, and they're passionate about it, but there's so many varied situations.
Right.
And, there's no way I think we can get on every possible scenario, but let's first talk about the competitive,
a jiu-jitsu competitor,
a jiu-jitsero.
Yeah, exactly. But they're going to everything.
Yeah.
They're doing 4 or 5 tournaments in between the big tournaments, and then doing all that type of stuff. I tend to almost always, less is more. I mean, I've trimmed where I was working with the boys 3 days a week, and I know that they're doing 2 other sessions outside of me every day, mm-hmm. whether I tell them to or not.
Two other sessions, like 2 other jiu-jitsu sessions or running or?
Yeah, something. It's always something. Right? So, I mean, a lot of guys, especially those real high-level competitors, they're type A personalities. They want to push. They want to grind. They want to work hard. And we all see those memes, no days off, all this kind of stuff. It's all over the place. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, until you experience it, we're not superheroes, right? We can do a lot of things to make us superhero-ish, right? But it catches all of us.
Yeah.
Right? And I think if we can somehow just let them know that less is more and just give them a healthy dose and play the long game. You and I both know in 5 years we can do an incredible amount of work. In 6 months, we can do good stuff, but if we push too hard and they break,
you can, in 6 months, right? You can hinder much more what you can do in 5 years than you can enhance it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I always say, like, hey, if you miss one session a week, that's 52 sessions a year. If you train jiu-jitsu 52 more times than me, I'm in trouble. You know, so you can blow past people in 5 years if you're just steady and consistent and patient. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective on it. Yeah, I remember when I was training a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, and Homolo was certainly the standout. I mean, he's the standout in pretty much any group. Yeah. He said at the peak of his training, he was doing 18 training sessions per week.
3 a day.
Which was, I think, three strength and conditioning sessions with me, two extra just conditioning sessions, mm-hmm. and then 13 jiu-jitsu sessions.
A lot of work.
Definitely a lot of work, and probably not, you know, relatable to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I my main takeaway from it, and he was doing, you know, a decent job of this on his own, was that all the sessions were not the same from an intensity standpoint.
Right.
I think this is kind of the point that's got to be hammered home to people is training 6 times a week, 10 times a week, whatever the number is, doesn't mean that you're doing 10 identical sessions from a difficulty
right.
standpoint.
Absolutely.
And that's I think where people can start to understand how they can plan and schedule their week better, is that there's higher, you know, higher stress, higher intensity days, whether that be lifting or jiu-jitsu,
right.
and to start to manipulate that kind of thing.
I think even if I can, the one thing that we've done, I developed like a performance planner for my guys to finally just, here, just use this, you know, because it kind of walks mm-hmm. them through a lot of these thought processes. But it has a week, and we sit there and we talk about it and we lay it out, you know, and then we have high intensity days and lower intensity days. And I just doing that helped a lot of them go, ah, okay, I get it. So, and then they feel better. They like within a week of doing it, how you feeling? Oh man, I feel sharp. I'm retaining more stuff. They're firing on all cylinders instead of just getting through it.
So what constitutes high intensity days for you guys?
For most of my guys, it's the days they spar, right? And that could be jiu-jitsu or not, right? But sparring, and then they're with me. Because I know, at least with my guys, with the coaches that I'm dealing with, when they're with coach, they're grinding. They're very, very little. Maybe they drill a little bit, but I know the coaches that I'm dealing with, at least in particular, they're grinding hard. So I tend to work above and below where they're at. So either it's a restorative day if they're really jacked up, or it's that strength and power development that I know they're not getting from them that will just complement it, right? And it's just a little dose of that a couple times a week, and it's working out pretty good.
So if we were looking at classifying just jiu-jitsu training, just on the mat stuff, into high days, medium days, low days. Because I think that's kind of the first step, is people have to understand what constitutes these different days. And
yeah.
Weight room stuff, it's pretty easy to understand. All right, squat, bench, deadlift, Olympic lifts, higher percentages,
right.
sprints, jumps, that's a high day.
Yeah.
Accessory weights, aerobic, you know, pure aerobic work, then we're looking at medium or low days.
Yeah.
Bunch of, you know, mobility work, restorative, definitely a low day.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more abstract to think of jiu-jitsu training in that way, and MMA, all this stuff. So as someone tries to think of, this is going to be my high intensity jiu-jitsu day, that's going to be the day where they're doing their most live training.
I think it's important to discuss who we're talking about, right? Because if you talk about a brand new white belt, every day is a high intensity day in jiu-jitsu because they just are trying not to get killed.
Well,
so they tend to like overdo everything. Where if you watch a black belt roll, and some of the local guys here that are really high level, they roll all day.
Yeah.
Right? In classes and privates and all this type of stuff, but they're very calm and relaxed as they go, and it's different because they have more skill.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's important.
They have more skill, and they have a big special work capacity
Absolutely.
Built up for it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been rolling all day since you're 10 years old,
Different.
Well, then rolling ain't that big a deal.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. But I mean, that's an important thing to consider, because that combined with all of other life stresses it all impacts us. You know, so I think for, if you had to say with the average competitor, would they go once a day?
Average competitor, yeah. You know,
if, most if, people, if they're really hammering it, once a day.
Yeah.
The two-a-day guys, like local here, they have schools full of competitors and they travel from all over the earth to come here, different. I think that's pretty small percentage if I had to guess.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the biggest, you know, it was a couple weeks ago, Masters Worlds had something like, granted, there was several different tournaments going on, but that weekend there was, I think, 8,000 people competing. And if half of that was just Masters Worlds competitors, because there was also, you know, a Nogi tournament, like Vegas Open, and a kids tournament.
Yeah.
So if half of it was Masters competitors, those are 30 plus. Those are the ones with jobs and kids and who are competing, but competing more recreationally, let's say, than they.
Yeah, it's important to them.
Yeah.
But they're not paying their bills with it.
Yeah, you know? Those are going to be the guys who are training jiu-jitsu 4 to 6 times a week, probably.
Yeah.
And also probably the people who are more so listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah. If you got a job and you have a wife and you got kids, I mean, hats off to you if you can make it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Because that's just hard, you know? It's just different, you know? There's so many responsibilities in a day. Yeah, I think if 3 to 5 is probably pretty solid. Mm-hmm. And if you can make it to the gym a couple of days a week, maybe get a run in, hey, I wouldn't ask for much more than that, you know?
So for that audience who's, you know, they're training at their school. And of course, you know, there's so many different schools. They're not totally in control probably of the intensity of day to day, but they're, you know, like for me, I train in Gracie Baja headquarters. We have fundamentals classes, advanced class, competition class.
Right.
I know if I need an easy day, I'm going to go to fundamentals class instead of advanced class. Mm-hmm. The competition class only once a week, but even the advanced class if is an hour of training with, you know, the specific training for the last 20-25 minutes, and then it could spar for an hour after that. You know, if I did that whole thing, like that's
definitely a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a high day. If I did just the advanced class with no live training after that, I would probably call that a medium day. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be, yeah, the warm up, 15-20 minutes of drilling, and then half an hour of like guard rotation, specific training. Yeah, everyone's probably using their own terms, but start in half guard, close guard, whatever it is, and you know, sweep or submit, pass, sweep or submit. You stay, the next guy's out, you're going again.
Right.
At a pretty good intensity. So, you know, looking at my training, that's how I would classify things is advanced class with a good amount of live training after, high day. Mm-hmm. Competition class, high day for sure. Advanced class with no live training after, medium. Fundamentals class, low.
Mm-hmm. Because you know your class, your instructors, and your partners. With my guys, I know that they go flat out hard and try to take each other's heads off pretty much every day.
Yeah.
They used to. Now it's Tuesdays and Saturdays, but they're still grinding quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know in Denver, when I was talking with Lauren Landau, he said all his guys are like, okay, cool, I'm sparring on this day. And he says, cool, I want to come see sparring. Are you sparring hard? Yeah, dude, we're sparring hard. Well, then he went and he watched and he says, get out of here, dude. That's not, you were buddy sparring. He goes, so you're not hitting the gear that I need you to hit for competition. So then he changed his training in the gym to hit that, where I will avoid it because I know my guys are getting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
their intensity's incredibly high, where theirs maybe is not as high. And maybe that was a day, maybe it was just their partners, but it does fluctuate with the people that you're rolling with and the coach at the day, you know, who knows? Maybe the coach is in a bad mood that day. Yeah. But you just get it, you know?
Yeah. And that's going to be kind of up to the individual to decide. Like, you know, we can't predict every scenario here, but that's also, I think the important takeaway is that people need to understand whatever situation they're in, they have some ability to manipulate the intensity of the day.
Yep.
And if they have a lot of flexibility, you know, if you're just a couple guys training, you know, with mats in your garage and you're training, have a day that's dedicated towards high intensity, where you're gonna, you know, spar, you're gonna roll as many full go, 5, 6, 10 minute rounds, whatever it is for your level, as many as you can in an hour.
Right.
You know, or maybe even more full recovery between them, and really make them high intensity.
Yes.
You're gonna have another day where maybe you do a lot of specific training, and you start in a given position, and I think, you know, this is a bit of a topic for another day of like ways that competition jiu-jitsu training could be better organized. Uh-huh. I think people miss out on that part of things. I was listening to a podcast with Gordon Ryan, and he was talking about how they have things organized, and it was almost all around specific training. Mm-hmm. You know, this day we...
Like situational.
Yeah. You know, we're going to start in half guard. We're going to start, you know, with a guy on our back. We're going to start with someone has our leg in a single leg, and we go from there.
Right.
And, you know, that's how you get better in those positions.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, I know for me, if we just, you know, start from the knees and slap hands, like, I'm going to try and get to the same position all the time. I'm going to try and get to what I like to do.
Your strength.
Yeah. And yeah, that's my fault too for not trying to work on other things more. But if we just did specific training, and it's like, all right, I know we're spending 20 minutes today, you know, where I have to start in bottom side control and get better at it.
But yeah.
But having those, the more specific training with, which is going to be a little bit lower intensity, you know, that's probably more of a medium day, and then having just lighter, like drilling days and manipulating throughout the week, mm-hmm. to where you have high, medium, low days. That I think is the first big point to understand.
Yeah, I know with one instructor local, with Guy Mendez, I sat down with Guy and I asked, hey, just can you show me your week? And he pulled it up, and that dude is organized for the year. Like, he'll show me on his laptop, there's the year. Here's what we're doing this day. Here's what we're doing that day. And it's all laid out, incredibly organized. So if a student there wanted to go, you know, hey, what are we going to be working on this week? He could find out, right? I know with Gracie Baja, on the back end of their system, they have set up what that instructor's teaching at what class that day, no matter where you're at in the country,
yeah.
Which is cool. So you could find out. And you could really, like, coordinate then, okay, cool, when I'm going to go in these days, what are we working on? What's that going to look like? Then what's the rest of my week look like? And then really just take the time. It does take time, right? But to take the time to organize all that stuff in, then you could really fine-tune it over a few weeks to see how you react to it and what else is going on in my life and all the other stuff. But then you could really dial everything in and have a pretty focused attack, yeah. I would think.
So as we look at, you know, an example scenario on this, let's say someone can train Monday through Friday, and they know that maybe Mondays and Fridays are going to be their biggest, their hardest days of training. Those are their high days of jiu-jitsu, and Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I'll even give example. You know, if you train at Gracie Baja headquarters, your schedule very likely could be you train, you know, advanced class on Monday nights and Friday nights. You train the no-gi class on Wednesday nights, and then you want to go to fundamentals on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have high, low, high, off, off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, what you got to do if you want to have three high training days a week. It's not going to be high, low, low, off, off, but apply some common sense to that. So we're going high, low, high, low, high, off, off.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think it's best to put the lifting around that?
If it's going to be a pretty significant stress, like if you're just doing pretty basic lifts, you know, squatting and hinging and pushing and pulling and going pretty heavy and trying to get stronger, if that's the thing you're trying to develop, I would say go on the same days as your sparring days, your high intensity rolling days, ideally after.
Yeah.
Not always the case, doesn't always work that way, but if you can at least do the same day and maybe separate it by 6 hours or so, best.
Yeah.
Because then you have your high day, because if you go Tuesday, Thursday in that particular example, you never recover.
Exactly. Every day becomes a high day then. And I think that concept of consolidate, you know, I've got a bunch of articles about this, consolidation of stressors, about putting hard lifting with hard sport practice,
right?
Yeah, you know, whether that's football practice, rugby practice, basketball, or in this case, jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm. putting them together seems a bit counterintuitive to people. They think, I'm going to be too tired for one or the other. And like, that might be the case for the first week or two or month, but you're going to adapt to that. But if you do, as you said, go, you know, jiu-jitsu hard Monday, Wednesday, Friday, lifting hard Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, then where is the recovery? There's no recovery existing in that program. Sure. So with those high days, it's probably going to mean that the workout is very small in the sense that it's maybe two exercises. Mm-hmm. And again, everyone's schedule is going to allow for different things. And you and I have, you know, very complete gyms right in our garage. So it's a bit more convenient.
That's handy.
Yeah, to break things up into smaller, you know, sessions. But if you're going to, you know, maybe in the morning you can, yeah, I'm just talking hypothetical situations here. You work a 9 to 5, you're going to go train jiu-jitsu at a class at 6 o'clock. That's going to finish at 8 o'clock, or you train from 7 to 9, whatever it is. You're probably not going to get home and lift weights after that.
No.
I know I'm not.
No.
So maybe you wake up 30 minutes earlier and you, you know, do some clean pulls and bench press in the morning. Just two exercises with a warm up takes, you know, 45 minutes maybe to get in and get done. As far as the, you know, people are always asking with a lot of our online programs, well, how long does this workout take? It's like, how good a shape are you in?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me to do a squat workout when I'm really strong, well, I do about 12 warm up sets.
Right.
You know, other people are going to be, they're going to be done with all their work sets by the time I'm to my second to last warm up set.
Right.
So how strong you are is a big influence as well. And that's something I want to talk about too, is like, how strong do you need to be? But we'll talk about that after the scheduling stuff. So they're going to do that small in terms of number of exercises workout in the morning, then the hard jiu-jitsu in the evening. The next day is going to be more reserved for recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still going to get some, you know, fundamental type of jiu-jitsu drilling, like lower intensity, and weights are easy to control the intensity of. You say, I'm going to put this much weight on the bar, that's how heavy it is.
Right.
But controlling your effort, flow, rolling, whatever it is, you know, that's an important thing, I think, as jiu-jitsu competitors get more advanced and start to do better training, that they have to be able to control their effort more.
I think it's just learning that. Like, I've explained it a few different ways to the boys just to see, like, what do they digest?
Clicks with them,
what clicks with them, right? So I have a huge whiteboard in my garage now, and that I wrote out 5 different phases, right? Tune-up, which is that restorative type stuff. Endurance type work, which is pretty low intensity still. Mm. Strength, power, and then competition. So I could tell them by pointing at the board, hey, what are we doing today, coach? We're in second gear. Oh, okay. And then they know right there, intensity is going to be a bit lower. We're going to do a bit more work. Okay, cool. That's the gear I need to hit today. And it's made it pretty easy for them to be like, oh, okay, cool. I'm in fourth gear. I need to hammer this stuff, but we're going to rest a lot. All right, cool. And then they get it. They digest it and they understand it. I've done it that way where it's just one long board, like a timeline almost. And then I did it as a transmission, which a transmission worked for some, but not others. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I can't drive a stick, so.
All right. But it's just understanding the same thing you're talking about. Yeah. There's many different gears to this thing, and you can kind of hit different gears at different times of the year to get the result you're looking for.
Yeah, like it can't always be fifth gear, you know, pedal to the metal, the hardest training that you can do. Especially, you know, I'm 33 now. I know I can't train the way I did when I was 23 at 33, and I probably won't be able to train as hard at 38 as I am at 33. And
I'm 43.
Yeah,
the plot thickens. It's just wait.
Yeah, so being able to modulate those efforts between high, medium, low, you know, you want to assign RPEs to it or percentages, whatever it is. So maybe that next day, the day that's more for recovery, they're going to do some aerobic work, they're getting on the bike or the rower, you know, going for a jog, whatever it is, especially if your joints are getting beat up, getting in the pool is going to be a great option. And then putting maybe a small 20 minutes of accessory work with that. Neck, a little bit of shoulders, upper back.
It's a little dose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the programs that everybody's used to seeing, I'm sure, especially on your guys' website, is very strength oriented.
Yeah.
Right? And if that's all they do, you can do a lot more work. Yeah. Right? As you add in jiu-jitsu and life, I mean, that strength piece, it goes down.
Yeah.
And you just got to get bang for your buck stuff and get out. Like a lot of times when I get home, my wife's like, hey, we got 30 minutes till we got to eat. That's all I get. So I just go in the garage and hit some big stuff and go back in.
Yeah.
You know, other days you got more time. So.
Well, and I think that that gets the idea too of how much do you need to do to be strong for jiu-jitsu? Mm-hmm. Like the amount of strength that I had in powerlifting is so far past a point of diminishing returns. For jiu-jitsu, it's unbelievable.
Right.
So, you know, when I was squatting 900, benching in the mid-500s, deadlifting 800, I could have been doing two-thirds of those numbers and still been pretty much the strongest guy that
for sure.
that's there. And with some of the elite competitors that I've worked with, you know, Homolu was definitely the strongest guy with the barbell,
mm-hmm.
and he deadlifted 500 pounds on a conventional deadlift, straight bar.
Yeah.
And he was significantly stronger than everyone else there. And he's, you know, one of the best jiu-jitsu competitors of all time. So, you know, but for a 200-pound guy to deadlift 500 pounds in the world of strength sports...
Not much.
No one gives a shit. You know, so, like, you do not have
game.
To... Certainly. But what I'm saying is you don't have to do... you know, this dedicated strength program
uh-huh.
to get to the strength levels that are plenty strong enough for jiu-jitsu.
Right. I think social media and media in general portrays these strength athletes,
mm-hmm.
Olympic, you know, powerlifters, strongmen, all this type of stuff, right? People will look up to that and then they idolize that, but it's not appropriate maybe for their sport
yeah.
because of the time and effort and stress that goes into getting there, you know? So... I think for a lot of these guys, it just depends, again, on the person, their style of jiu-jitsu, maybe.
Certainly.
And then their skill level, right? I think, but for me personally, I've realized, at least with the guys that I've seen, very few of them have any organized strength history.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do really, really basic stuff.
Yeah.
And not very much of it, and they get better. So I'm like, well, why am I going to do more? Why am I going to do fancy stuff? When I can just hit, like you said, literally 3 to 5 exercises when they come in. And then before they start, I do a lot of mobility restorative type work because they're usually, almost all of them are pretty banged up, some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they don't do that stuff on their own. I used to say like, hey, do this stuff on your own, do homework. They don't do it. So first 15, 20 minutes is just kind of getting the oil flowing, so to speak. And then we'll do something explosive. And then we hit a few basics, and then maybe not the conditioning at the end, and that's it. At least for the guys that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But it's really basic, and the volume's pretty low, because I know all the other stuff that they're doing is a lot of stress. So.
Yeah, so, you know, with our powerlifting stuff and hypertrophy and everything, we use a lot of these, what we call volume landmarks. So we mm-hmm. have maintenance volume, MV,
mm-hmm.
minimum effective volume, MEV, maximum adaptive volume, MAV,
right.
and maximum recoverable volume, MRV. So the numbers I think that are going to be much more significant to jiu-jitsu competitors are, you know, the MEV, minimum effective volume.
Yep.
And the minimum effective volume for a lot of the jiu-jitsu competitors is going to be so much lower than what it is for a powerlifter, weightlifter, strongman because they don't have that history.
Right.
If you're used to doing 0 sets of squats,
yeah,
then 2 or 3 sets
it gets you
is very significant.
Yeah.
And you can benefit from that for a long time up to, I think, the levels that are going to make you strong for jiu-jitsu
mm-hmm.
with never having to enter the realm of volume that a elite level powerlifter has to do for their squat to increase.
Right.
Like,
and also, if you're talking white to brown and you compete...
Mm-hmm.
Every month, let's say that competitor is really hammering it.
Yeah.
I really want to get better. I'm going to class every day and I compete in maybe a regional tournament or something every month or two. Well, you can't, I don't think it's really wise to periodize for the, every single one of them. You're going to periodize a strength program for one or two, three probably at the most meets a year. Like somebody like Bushesha or somebody like that. That's different. That's pretty, that's a 1% of 1%, I think, for this audience. I think it's learning how, like you said, to shift gears throughout the week, get a schedule that works well for you. And then you're going to maybe fine tune a couple things, but it's just playing with little variables, right? Like making a meal, you just kind of change the little things here and there.
Yeah. So I think like back to our Monday, Wednesday, Friday, harder training example, it's probably feasible that, Monday and let's say this person can't train on the weekend for whatever reason, just for the sake of example. So maybe Monday and Friday are going to be their primary lifting days. That's where they're going to do some kind of, you know, squat variation, some kind of pressing, like more primary pressing, a primary pulling exercise, and some hip hinge, hip extension exercise. So maybe Monday is going to be more like a push day. So they're going to do whatever squat variation is appropriate for them. And that's, you know, I got a lot more information about this, but when I'm saying squat, I don't necessarily mean barbell back squat.
Right.
Because I've had plenty of black belts that I trained and they couldn't squat for shit. You know, whether they'd just never been exposed to it.
Yep.
Their
body doesn't allow them to do it.
Yeah. Their bodies were too fucked up for it or whatever. So, you know, belt squat might be appropriate, or the trap bar deadlift is their squat variation, or box squat to a higher box, or goblet squat, or front foot elevated split squat. You know, there's so
many, even just what they have access to.
Yeah,
a lot of the guys, at least that I talk to from the website, they're all over the place. A lot of them don't have much. You and I have very equipped garages. A lot of people might have a kettlebell.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just limited.
Yeah, so creativity is going to be key there.
Yeah.
But so they're going to do whatever their best squat variation is, and then whatever their best press variation is on that Monday. And then maybe Tuesday is all restorative stuff. It's a little bit of extra aerobic work, and that's paired with their lighter jiu-jitsu day. So that day can be, you know, totally dedicated to recovery with some, you know, improvement of skill. Wednesday, another hard jiu-jitsu day, but they don't have time for full lift, so maybe that's their accessory weights day, and they're going in and getting a pump and doing some, you know, work for the neck and upper back, and maybe some accessory lower body stuff like a, you know, back raise or reverse hyper.
Yeah.
Thursday mirrors Tuesday, and then Friday is a lot like Monday, but now they're getting their primary, you know, pull exercises in. So maybe like a barbell rows and RDLs or clean pull. Now again, this is all exercise category.
Right.
You know, where, so if you had to, and people ask this all the time, because I'm always talking about the exercise category stuff, but they don't want to hear that. They want to know what's the best exercise for jiu-jitsu. What's the, you know, the highest carryover? Do you have exercises that stand out in your mind as if all things being equal, which of course they never are, but exercises that you would choose?
I mean, I'm 100% with you as far as the exercise category because I've seen such a wide variety and there's so many obstacles that come along during the week.
Yeah, I mean, every wide variety of the athlete's preparedness, of their injury history.
Yeah, for sure. Or they hammered somebody that day and they're like, hey, coach, I'm pretty sure I broke my hand today. Well, there goes that bench press or whatever it is, you know? So it's like I have every single program I've ever written down has gone out the window. Every single one of them. And maybe just for a day, maybe for a week, the stuff comes up. So you have to be flexible. So I don't like saying just that exercise because, one, people might not have access to that. So, like, I'll use a lot of the VersaPulley stuff. Not very many people have VersaPulleys.
Yeah.
I love them and have worked them into my garage where I use them quite a bit. But I realize that other people don't. So, like, I wouldn't say, like, this is what I do all the time because they don't have that and they'll get frustrated. But the exercise category is important because there's so many variables depending on what you have access to and, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah, so to clarify, I guess, a little bit more for people listening, when we're talking about exercise categories, these, like, movement patterns that are really important. Squat, hip hinge, hip extension, upper body press, upper body pull, twist, carry. Mm-hmm. Like if you have those six elements to a program for combat sport athlete, you're doing a very, very good job.
Yeah. And I'd throw in jump and throw and lower motion type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you'll feather those as well. But yeah, I'm with you 100%. And I think people will maybe gravitate towards things that they like, right? Because of maybe their experience, because of what they're good at, right? Where you might, you know, be really comfortable with the barbell and some new guy might not be.
Yeah.
You know, so he could still squat and push and hinge and do all those things. And like we said, they're so new, most of them, they're going to get crazy results just doing anything.
Yeah, I think that's like a super important thing to remember is that some is better than none.
Right.
You know, some kind of squatting is better than no sure. squatting. Some kind of...
Well, it's like if you don't drink coffee and you crank down a large coffee, you don't sleep.
Yeah,
which makes me laugh because they're like, I've been used to drinking it for 20 years. So it's like I'll clank one down at 8 o'clock at night and be like snoring the next minute, you know. But so that's a good point. I mean, this is the same idea. It's just very, very just small dose has a lot of benefit. I think that's an important piece so that people are staying healthy. Because if you go too much, people break.
Yeah. And to that point, too, I think it's important as people look at planning out a week of training or a month of training or 3 months of training towards a competition, whatever it is, that they shouldn't be confined by a calendar in the sense that, you know, Sunday through Saturday, their training doesn't have to repeat identically every time there, that they can extend out their, you know, a microcycle, like their repeating cycle of training, they could extend that out further, they could condense it. Mm-hmm. They could, you know, in the example we're giving of Monday and Friday being their harder lifting days with like a harder push type of day on Monday and harder pull and a more primary pull type of day on Friday, well, the first week it might be heavier Monday and lighter Friday. The second week it might be lighter Monday and heavier Friday. Like there's a lot of ways that they can manipulate this and probably need to manipulate it based on how they feel.
Yeah.
And based on making sure that they have enough energy for the stuff that matters. While lifting and sprinting and jumping, like, yeah, that's gonna make them a little bit better.
Right.
But there's a shitload of people who I can lift way more than and probably sprint faster than and jump higher than, and they will tap me out, you know, 10 times in 5 minutes. So.
Well, I mean, you saw that. I mean, it's interesting to me because there's so much gray area when you say strong.
Yeah.
Right? And you could say somebody like Khabib, does he go into weight room much? I don't know.
Yeah.
I've seen a few videos, not very many. Doesn't seem like much. Right, I could be completely off. But I know Dustin Poirier spends a tremendous amount of time with a very powerlifting, heavy strength coach. And that, it's a piece of the puzzle. It's not the puzzle.
Certainly.
You know?
Yeah, and that part of the thing is it's like there's so much training history and special strength and general strength and stuff that's kind of like a tough one to comment on. And I'm reticent to try and assign numbers to, like, you know, this is strong enough for jiu-jitsu. If you can squat 1.5 times your body weight, that's strong enough. It's totally irrelevant.
Yeah.
What I know that's better almost universally is going to be a little bit stronger than you are now is better, with some people like me being an exception to that. But
but
chances are, unless you're coming from a strength sports background into combat sports, you will improve. You'll be able to improve a little bit, but the numbers are not high enough to where your objective has to be, I'm training for a bigger squat. Right. I'm training for a bigger deadlift. Like that's not going to be worthwhile. The well-organized training is going to almost like a bigger squat or a bigger deadlift is almost like a side effect of well-organized training rather than the objective of it.
Right.
So like if you're a jiu-jitsu athlete out there searching the internet for you know, programs to do, and you think that a bigger squat's gonna help you, like you don't need to do fucking Smolov to to make your jiu-jitsu better.
For sure. Yeah, I think I agree. I think it's just the appropriate dose. Get a couple doses, good doses in of quality work, whatever that looks like for that person. And then your focus, again, the primary focus is the skill development.
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's guys that are my size that'll get you.
Yeah.
And you're 280, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, and people need to recognize too that the training is stimulus.
For sure.
And like when I started training with Jacob Harmon, and you know, Professor Philippe Delamonica, our head coach at Gracie Baja headquarters, had said, oh, like, he's the strongest guy I've ever trained with. And he was talking about him doing some like ab rollouts and like full extension, like Superman kind of things in a TRX with his feet in one.
Okay, yeah.
Or his 1 foot in each hook and one hand on each hook, and doing like 10 reps of going out to full extension from a pike.
Yeah.
And Philippe was saying that he couldn't do a single one. Homolo couldn't do a single one. And Jacob, who's 5'9", 260,
he's a big
bear, you know, is just banging out sets of 10. And that's like a different kind of strength.
Right.
But when I came back from my first training with him, there was a lot of people like, oh, you're probably still stronger than him, right? And I was like, at lifting a barbell, not at lifting people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's different.
Yeah, and just because it's not, you know, pieces of metal on the ends of another piece of metal, and you're trying to move a person around, that's still stimulus. Your muscles are still working. Like, it's harder to quantify, but that's making you stronger. That's breaking tissue down.
It's like stress.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, and then to add to that, I think there's another piece too with work and family.
Oh, for sure.
And all these other things. Like, if my 8-month-old doesn't sleep, I suffer the next day.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't account for that and you just try to grind through it and push, it doesn't turn out well. Because you maybe can get through that day, maybe you get through that week or month. It's going to catch you eventually. So you have to, I guess, adjust for all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the body doesn't know what a squat is, what a deadlift is, what a, you know, finals at school are, what babies up all night crying is. It just knows stress and stimulus.
Yep. And so, when you say hard on Monday too, the first thing I thought of was like, it's going to be rough right now. Football on Sundays, I know a lot of people aren't very good on Sundays, you know what I mean? I used to laugh at the gym when I'd get people warming up on Monday, and I'd look around and be like, you had fun this weekend, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, because they're just dragging.
For sure.
But you have to change it.
Yeah. And so with that idea of the kind of ebb and flow of life stress and training stress, I think another important concept beyond not being confined, you know, that by the calendar week, or that every week needs to be an identical kind of plan, you can extend that even more. So with that same, you know, hypothetical situation we're talking about, Monday through Friday training, your primary lifting days, Monday and Friday, accessory day on Wednesday, primary jiu-jitsu days, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, lighter technique days, restorative strength and conditioning days on Tuesday and Thursday. Maybe the first week of that, you know, you're a little bit easier on the lifting on Monday and Friday with harder jiu-jitsu days then.
Mm-hmm.
And you flip it on Wednesday. And then the next week you flip it the other way.
Yeah.
Or you lift a little bit harder on Monday and Friday. And instead of rolling, you know, 6 live rounds at the end of class, now you do 4 live rounds. But just those little manipulations
makes a big difference.
Makes a huge difference, and keeping track of it, you know, whether that's keeping some kind of training journal and how you feel, you know, how you feel going into the class, how you feel coming out of the class the next day.
Yeah.
Like those. Do you use any kind of like readiness questionnaire or HRV or anything like that?
A couple of the boys in the UFC use the Omega Wave system, which is helpful. But I have them use that performance planner that I developed, that I give it to them, and they track their skill training. They track their strength and conditioning, their nutrition, their sleep, how they're feeling, all that type of stuff throughout the week. And then every week they can have a look back and an assessment, and then they readjust the following week's schedule. So they can kind of play like exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's helpful for a couple of reasons. I think one, just like we said at the beginning, when you actually lay a week out for people, they go, okay, cool, I can do that. right? And then you discuss it, maybe with their coaches, hopefully with their other coaches too, so that everybody kind of sees what that guy's going through. But then the manipulation is individual. What you can handle, what I can handle is different.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the type of work that you can handle and I can handle is probably way different. So it's important for everybody to kind of understand the gears, so to speak, but then to play with it and personalize it for what works for them.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think the big takeaways for people is that they got to listen to their body. You know, as cliche as that may be, they have to be willing to adjust things on the fly, whether that's ending a session early, whether it's pushing a session a little bit harder. With that in mind, like with every peak comes a valley.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this really great hard day on Monday, probably not going to feel too great on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you can anticipate that's going to happen and plan for Tuesday to not have to be that hard of a day, but to still get something positive and productive
out of it.
Yeah.
You can move a little every day, but it's like you said, not the same gear, not the same intensity.
Yeah. And moving that next day, doing something is going to be more beneficial to them. Like, while the number one things to recovery are going to be, you know, sleep and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that is going to be, you know, some kind of active recovery, improving blood flow, being smart about what that is. And if you can control your training enough, you know, your jiu-jitsu training enough to get a restorative day out of jiu-jitsu technique work, mm-hmm. you're going to be that much better off. Because
yeah.
while, you know, going for a swim or a jog or a walk or whatever, or, you know, hooking up tens unit on your legs and your back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's say the tens unit being the worst case of those examples. That's getting blood flow, but that's it.
Right.
Swimming, jogging, walking, that's getting some, you know, blood flow to the muscles for recovery, plus a little bit of aerobic capacity. Maybe there can also be a little bit of like psychological restoration with right. that too. But the jiu-jitsu training, it's getting all the blood flow benefits of the jogging or swimming,
mm-hmm.
plus the same aerobic benefits as those, plus some level of skill.
Yeah.
And when you're going at that tempo kind of pace, 60% intensity, where you can actually think about, you know, all your grips and every piece of the technique.
Right.
That's like, you know, the deep practice kind of.
Oh, for sure.
Kind of stuff.
You're getting your reps in, is all it is.
Yeah.
Right? And with all the different positions and things to think about. I mean, I, in my opinion, at least, if you don't groove those enough, when pressure comes and competition comes, you don't have it.
Yeah.
It won't come.
I say drill. You know, drillers make killers.
Yeah. And, exactly.
And for the, you know, I'm saying this as a lower belt, but you're a white belt and you're a blue belt and you're, you know, maybe getting killed all the time by your buddies at the gym, you're not getting to think about, you know, in the live roles, you're not getting to think about, am I doing the right thing in this position? You're just trying to survive.
Right, for sure.
So having those lower intensity sessions where you can actually, you know, think about every piece that you're doing.
Right.
I think can be a really beneficial thing for people.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. I think, understanding those gears, understanding the different intensities and just laying out that plan is, and just keeping it basic. I think a lot of people, because there's so much information that's out there, they get overwhelmed. And then there's just all this noise and they don't just declutter, so to speak, and get all the nonsense out and just what's going to work for me this week. I think just focusing is a big deal because we're all busy, right? We all got phones and a million things going on all day long. So.
Nice. Corey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for listening to the Jug Life Podcast. Today's guest was Corey Beasley from Fight Camp Conditioning. Make sure to go check out fightcampconditioning.com, see all his stuff. Corey and I talked about how to organize your week for jiu-jitsu, so how to think about beginning to classify, you know, how intense are your jiu-jitsu sessions, and then how to pair lifting with that, around that, so you can manage fatigue. And of course, there's so many different variables to take into account here, from, you know, 20-year-old purple belt who's getting ready to compete at the Mundials to a 45-year-old, you know, blue belt who's got three kids and a serious job and maybe he wants to get ready to do masters worlds, but he just doesn't have the same amount of time to dedicate to his training. So hopefully you could take some of the principles that we talked about and apply it to your own situation. If you're interested in online coaching for powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, power building, or strongman, check out jtsstrength.com. We also have all of our books like Scientific Principles of Strength Training, Powerlifting Program Design Manual, Weightlifting Technique Triad, and Juggernaut Apparel there. Subscribe to the channel, like the video, subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star review. We appreciate all of that. It helps more people find the content. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.